Hey guys, I'm in Vegas and I want to give a shout out to my sponsor, Helix Sleep. Find your perfect mattress at helixsleep.com/griffin and have the best sleep of your life. Okay, welcome back. I'm on the road. This is a special edition of Riffin' with Griffin.
Special, like short bus special?
Yeah. Part three, the Pauly Shore experience, the third time on the podcast.
Do I have the record or the least amount record?
No, you don't have the record yet, but you're close. You're one of the few people that have been on this many times. You know, the last time we were, what are you doing?
Because you've been with me all week and I haven't gotten any on my social media.
Okay. So the last time I spoke to you, it was like over Zoom, the pandemic, it was like in the middle of it, and you had moved to Hawaii.
Well, I wouldn't say I moved there. Oh, yeah, well, I was staying there for about 3 months, yes.
Yeah, but that's pretty significant. That's a pretty significant move, and now you're out here in Vegas. I don't know. How is it for you now? Like, you know, in this stage of your life, you know, you're still doing stuff, so your career's still going. You know, that's great. You know, that's probably a blessing.
When you think of Vegas, you always think of like on the backside of people's careers.
But it's not like you have like a. It's not like it's like Pauly Shore is at Caesar's Palace at the bingo room. No, you actually moved here for life reasons.
Yeah, definitely. No, I just I've been coming to Vegas since I was a kid.
Right.
You know, my dad lived here for many years.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, my dad passed away here in Vegas about 2 years ago, right in Summerlin, right there. So my dad's widow lives here. I have a lot of friends here. My friend Jason Strauss lives here, who runs half the nightlife in town. I got a lot of new friends. Ryan, who's shooting this right there, he's a good friend of mine. We became very close. I've been here for about a year. And I just wanted to, for me, I wanted to be around a new beginning and just kind of, I know you might not think this because I don't know what you know of Vegas, but it makes me happy here. Like, yeah. I feel happy and joy here. You know what I mean? Like, there's a joyous here that reminds me of the early part of my career when I was doing a lot of silly stuff. And to me, Vegas represents goofy. I mean, we were on the street. You saw that knucklehead come up to us.
He's
a knucklehead.
You know,
he's from, you're just like crazy. So, I don't know. Vegas is fun. It's silly. It's fun. My brother Scott got a place out here now. So, he's going to be out here. And it's only a 45-minute flight from L.A.
Yeah. You're in L.A. all the time. I see you in L.A. all the time.
Yeah.
But, like, how is it at this stage of your life? Because I'm not even saying career. I'm saying this stage of life. Because you've had such an amazing life, really. I mean, there was a ginormous career time in your life where it was like, man, everybody knew who Pauly Shore was.
Yeah.
You know? And so now, do you feel like you're enjoying the fruits of that labor now? How would you consider what's happening in your life right now?
No, I definitely feel like I'm in my 20s again. You know, even look around my house here. It's just silly. It's just like, you know.
It looks like many porn shoots have gone on here before you moved in.
and during my move. No, I don't know. I got this house. You know, I didn't buy it. I'm leasing it because I don't know where my head's going to be in six months to a year.
That's what I'm saying.
No one knows what the fuck's going on. So
you might be in Idaho next time I see you.
Yeah. Actually, I was thinking about Idaho. No, I don't know. Just, you know, when your parents pass away and you get a lot of that, you know, and you're going through stuff with your family and you kind of move on. You want to just kind of move, you know, switch a new leaf and kind of get in a new space. And L.A. is my heart and L.A. is my home, but this is where I live right now. Yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like, well, let me ask you, do you feel like any place else but L.A., though? You know, because there was obviously something that made you be like, I got to get out of L.A.
No, it was just, I've been there 50 years.
Yeah, sure.
So it was just like, fuck, I got to get out of L.A. because of that. And then the coronavirus and all that shit had a lot to do with it.
Yeah. How
L.A. is just fucking, it's depressing now. There's a feeling there where everyone's kind of resistant. There's no freedom. I don't feel freedom there. I feel like this kind of like everyone's, you know, kind of being watched and everyone's like this. It's just the opposite of L.A. to me.
It just feels weird. To me, it's just so bizarre here that a place where it's like 24/7 drinking, you can walk on the street with a beer, prostitution's legal, there's pawn shops, you know, you're gambling. This is a place about addiction and debauchery. But they want you, they wanted to act like they care about people's health with the coronavirus.
Yeah,
I mean, it just seems bizarre to me. Like here, in terms of like, you know, they just restarted the mask restrictions. Like, say,
well, they're doing that for political reasons because the governor says to do it because, you know, that's just the way it is now.
But there's no capacity, like, so you could still be like, you know, it's like you're indoors, everybody wear masks, but there's no social distancing. There's no, like, you know, there's no capacity, like, you know, things. It's just
not LA. LA's LA. LA's the only place, I think, in America that's really like, you know, like what you're talking about. You know what I mean? Like,
well, it seems that everybody.
You going to Texas, Florida, all those places are the same way. I mean, I just did a tour of Texas. It's the same thing. People don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just.
It's strange. I was talking to Ryan before this. I was just saying, like, I feel like, you know, we're going to be able to get back to normal life when we start looking at that COVID the way we look at alcohol. And I'm not saying they're the same, but I'm talking about the feeling that we have towards it is that we really just don't care. People take their own personal responsibility. I mean, I know that, like I said, I know it's not the same, but I'm just talking about the feeling towards it. Because, you know, when you look at alcohol related deaths, it's astronomical a number, you know. When you look at like obesity, like the leading cause of death in the country is obesity. It's like it's obesity related diseases. You know, like we don't look at those numbers like, oh my God, what are we going to do about this? We just kind of go, well, this is part of our society, and then we move on with life. I think when we get to that with COVID, that's when life is going to get back to normal. Because right now, it just feels like we don't really know what we're doing or why we're doing it,
and no one does really, because you get all these people saying, you know, Fauci or this one or that one, and then stuff constantly changes. And
yeah, it keeps changing.
It just like changes, and you're like, fuck, you know. At the end of the day, you know, you're sticking shit in your fucking veins that you don't know what the fuck it is, but you're rolling the dice and you're saying like, hey, the scientists and the smart people in the world are telling us this is what the fuck to do, so we just do it. And then the people that don't do it, that are getting sick, you know, that's on them. You know, that's on them.
Yeah, I'm not an anti-vax, or if you're anti-vax, if you're anti-mask, that's your business, do you. But the problem is they're letting that affect our lives.
Yeah, our world,
And I'm like, come on, man. Yeah. You told me to get the vaccine, and I did, and I'm ready to live my life, and now all of a sudden I can't.
Yeah, the people that don't get vaccines, if they say that, you know, if they say you're not allowed to go in a certain restaurant, then you shouldn't get mad. Just say those are the rules right now.
Yeah.
The rules right now is you have to have that card that basically says that you've been injected with this serum shit that I don't know what the fuck it is. I'm starting to freak out from it. I don't know.
Like, what are you talking about?
No, I'm fine from it. No.
Yeah, I got we all. Did it hit you at all when you took it?
What?
No. Yeah, it did. It fucked me up pretty bad for like a day or so.
Really?
Yeah.
Didn't affect me at all.
Yeah. Well, that's because you're already, you know, fucked up.
No.
Anyways, that you use that as a clip for a thing. No, I'm just kidding. No, you know what's interesting is you're hearing a lot of people that are getting the coronavirus after they've gotten vaccinated.
I know more people that have gotten vaccinated who are getting
it. Here's the big question is then the first thing you ask them is like, what vaccine did you get? And then they say Johnson & Johnson, and you're like, yeah, well, that's why. And then they said Pfizer, and like, yeah, that one's pretty fucked up too. So the only one that I have not heard that they got the coronavirus after they got seen was the Moderna, bro. That's why the Wii's got the Moderna. What'd you get?
Are you getting sponsored by...
What did you get?
This podcast is sponsored by Moderna.
What did you get?
The Weezer strain.
Did you get the Pfizer?
No, I got the Pfizer, yeah. I went to CVS to get the Pfizer.
That guy probably has it, motherfucker. No, but John Lovitz got it, and he had the Pfizer.
Yeah, but he's...
John Lovitz.
Yeah.
He's crusty, right?
He was the original Pauly Shore. No, I don't know. I mean, I've been doing like a bunch of like health stuff. You know, I lost about 40 pounds and, you know, I get regular like IV shots. I get those IV drips. You know, I get the like, immune boost IV drips. I do stuff like that. You know, I'm very much like, I was like very much like, whoa, what's going on here? I don't want, you know. Mm-hmm. And plus my mom has dementia. So that's like... That also made me be like, all right, what are some of the causes of dementia? And it's like, high cholesterol, inflammation, these types of things that you can
doing
actually...
Doing podcasts with Pauly Shore.
Yeah, yeah. These are the kind of things that like you have to like look out for yourself. So I started to do those things. But I think that being healthier is also one of the things that helps you combat COVID in the first place.
And cocaine addiction.
Yeah. Well, I don't... I've never... You didn't have a cocaine addiction, did you?
No, but we could got some in the other room. If you wanted
to. Of course you
Vegas,
could.
Baby. Vegas, baby. Oh.
The cops are going to look at the GPS on the tracking on this video, and they're going to come right knock on your door.
They've been here before. I get it from them. Anyways, listen. So I think you're right. I think, you know, you want to – my mom had dementia and Alzheimer's – or not, and Parkinson's and all that shit. And, yeah, you want to try to avoid – I think a lot of it has to do with just – besides eating is just stress levels.
Your
blood pressure goes up when you're just constantly that. And I think with my mom – I think that the reason why she started to get the shakes, because it started, I think, in 2000, is because of the business. Because my mom is an artist. She's more of an artist as opposed to like a business person. And she was doing both. Do you understand? She was being an artistic person, you know, like creative, but then she also had to deal with the insurance and the fucking building and all that shit. And that to me is what fucked her up. You know, there's a picture of my mom right here. We went to Monte Carlo. And this was, she was sad, dude. This was a sad photo of her when I went, because we went to visit Peter. My brother Peter was in, it's a beautiful shot.
Yeah, it is.
It's a beautiful shot, but she was, you know, kind of depressed.
How old was she right here?
Very emotional. My mom was very emotional. Fuck, I think she was probably in her, I'd have to say maybe early 60s.
Damn, you know, to be that stressed at that age, it's like, you know what I mean?
And it was just, and I think going back to what you're saying is that when you get, you know, you get 40, 50, 60 years old, you want to try to, you know, I like waking up and having no emails. You know what I mean? I like waking up and like, I do a joke on stage. I got to burp one sec. I do a joke on stage where I say, like, I'm playing downtown Fremont Street down here. And it's a, you know, it's a pretty ghetto kind of, like, dirty area of Vegas. But I play into that, and I say, this is where Pauly Shore wound up. You know, at the Grand Hotel, the Delirious Comedy Club in Fremont Street, I said, you know, Adam Sandler's making $20 million a movie, and I'm fucking, you know, and I'm pop-locking on Fremont holding a strawberry daiquiri. And I said, and I think I won. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because Sandler's making millions, but he's got all this stuff to deal with. And like me, I'm kind of like, I don't want to say semi-retired, but my pressure is just, do you know what I mean? And that happens when you get older. You just, you know, people call me up to do things all the time. Let's, you know, I want to do this. I'm like, you know what? It's how much time is this going to take up of my day? Because at the end of the day, that's all we have is fucking your, at the end of the time, all we have is the day, is your day. And that's it. And like, do you want to spend 4 hours working on some fucking app or some fucking, you know, some weird thing that it's not even really in your lane? Or do I want to be able to write jokes and go fuck around with my dog or whatever? And that stuff, that's where I'm at 53.
Yeah, I find that like every time I'm around you or, you know, we have interactions or you're doing something, it's always something that's like, it's silly. But I can tell you're really enjoying yourself.
Yeah.
And you surround yourself with, like, people that, like, I can tell, like, there's no stress.
Yes. Yeah, that's kind of like, I'm glad you picked up on that. That's kind of where my head's. That's why I said at the beginning of this, I feel like, you know, I'm in my 50s, but I feel like I'm in my 20s because all this death and all this shit happened in my life and all this crazy stuff with my family. And, you know, and that was a lot of the stuff that was holding me back. I'm very emotional. And, you know, like any of us are when you're dealing with family, it's hard. I mean, you talk about, you know, I don't know what you're going through with your mom with Alzheimer's. That's fucking gnarly.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's fucking gnarly.
And you know what the tough part about the past year and a half is, you know, it's like, I think that like what this pandemic has done is like, I think we all are dealing with stuff and we've been dealing with stuff. And then we added this huge thing that now it was like, whoa, this is like too much. Now all the stuff that we thought we were handling, we're not handling well anymore. Or we realized that we need to get a handle on some things, you know. So I think it really made us like prioritize what's important in our lives.
Yeah, I think, you know, what's important is time. How do you want to spend your time? Because at the end of the day, you know, like my friend Jason, he just fucking, he owns so much shit out here. He owns Lavo and Marquee and you know, Tao and all, you know, him and his company. And they just acquired, you know, 5 or 10 more companies. Yeah. And I'm like, yo, like, yeah, you're going to make the money, but that's 4 or 5 more hours of emails and shit and employees and, you know what I mean? When are you going to have time to not do anything?
You know how people
change. And I think that has to do with age too, though. Yeah, like, yeah, you know, age has a lot. When I was younger, I'd want to do 50 things.
Yeah.
You know, but age and your parents dying and where you're at in your life and me being here, like, you know, I'm still doing a lot, but I'm not, but it's fun stuff. And it's not like stuff I'm making money off of. It's not like all my YouTube shit. Oh, I'm making money, but I'm having a great time.
Yeah, and I think that's all that matters. And I think that's good, man. Yeah. I mean, I do. I think that that's like, you know, that's the story for all of us to like follow. It's just like, hey, what are we doing all this stuff for in the first place? Like, what's the point of all this? Just be happy. And I think I've found a little bit of happiness too, and for myself, even during the pandemic, just be like, you know, I went and started gaming on Twitch, and I really enjoy doing that. Mm. I enjoy the little community of people that like come watch me every day. And
yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, they're always saying things, and I get messages all the time. And I'll be places, and someone will be like, "Yo, man, love you on Twitch." And and I go, "Oh, that's something new I did." And then people are, you know, acknowledging that. So it's like,
it's,
you know,
really about staying in your lane and enjoying what God brought you here for. I mean, you're great. Like I said to you before, I said you're an amazing character actor. You know, fucking funny, dude. I mean, people see you, and they go, "I fucking right, Ryan." They're like, "Fuck," no, they're like, "Fuck, this guy's hilarious. He's like a great, great actor," and I loved working with you in Guest House.
Yeah, you know what?
I had so much fun.
You know what? Going into that, I didn't know what to expect. Like, if I'm being 100. It was like even Bobby Lee and I had conversations where he called me. He's like, "Yo, dude, are you gonna do this movie?" You know, and it was like, Polly keeps bugging me about it. And I'm like, you know, and I was like, "I know, he's calling me too. I'm not sure what." And I didn't know because we really hadn't had many conversations, like a lot of interactions before that. Yeah. But then when I got on set and Sam, the director, and then how it was, I was like, "Oh, I get it." It was just like such a fun experience. Yeah. And then when I saw I still didn't know what the finished product was going to be like. But like, I gotta say, it's a really enjoyable movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's exactly what you think it is. You know, people always ask me, "What's Guest House about?" And I just go, "Pauly Shore's living in a couple's guest house. That's it.
That's the story." Yeah.
That's the story. Yeah. And then insanity ensues.
Yeah. I get, you know, a lot of people, they might have that preconceived kind of
yeah, that people don't know
about
you.
Me. They don't know me. And that's okay, you know. Bobby's Bobby, you know, with you, I totally understand, you know, for Bobby to say, "Oh, what am I going to do?" It's like, dude, shut the fuck up and do the movie. You're hilarious. I've known you for 50,000.
You know, he's going to do
it's
it.
Like, yeah.
But that's just how he is. Yeah, but, you know what I mean?
But, you know, Bobby, you know, I don't want to say I discovered, you know, and you know,
He owes his whole career
to
you?
No, he does not. Oh, no, he doesn't.
You can say it. Bobby Lee owes his whole career to Pauly Shore. Okay, there it is, right?
No, he would have made it.
Didn't
anyways.
You discover him in like San Diego too?
San Diego, but I had him open for me when he was terrible, and I actually, my mom.
Also, last year?
Yeah. No, when he was first starting off at the La Jolla Comedy Store, and I saw him in I think it was Brockton Villa, or it was one of his restaurants down there. It was a funny, like, busboy.
Oh.
And I was like, "Oh my God," you know what I mean? Then we got him at the store, and then
boom,
we just developed him at the store.
Well, you heard it here first, breaking news.
But
Bobby owes everything to Pauly Shore.
Yeah. And which means I should be getting a fucking
check, something,
a slice
right?
of fucking Tiger Chinese belly or whatever. Right? No, but he auditioned for my mom, actually, when he was opening for me at the Riviera Hotel here in Las Vegas. I think it was the late 90s, and he was opening for me.
There was a Comedy Store out here?
No, I was just doing a Pauly Shore show at the theater here, and he was my opening act. My mom came to the show, and that's when she made him a paid regular.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was when she saw him open for me, not at the store. Because she, you know, she's very busy, and she, you know what I mean, but she's coming to see her son. And she came, and
did you like that? Was there something special about.
Yeah, I was fucking my mom. Dude.
Did she go to all? Did she do that often? I'm saying, like, go out of town to see you out of town. Was that like one of the first times, or like, what was that for you, or the
no,
first time?
No, it was
time?
Mostly just La Jolla or, you know, Vegas a lot.
Oh, okay.
Because I played here a lot. So, but me and my mom are very close, like very close, like, you know, like best friends, like, you know.
Oh, that's good.
You know, like best friends, like, and we laughed a lot.
Well, that's why it's hard for me. Like, my mom still has a little, she has her sense of humor in place, you know, but it's hard. Because, like, when they're going through that thing, it's hard to, like, sit with her and know that this is a different person. It's, like,
but here's
heart-wrenching every time I go see
here's
her.
Here's some advice that I'll give you and anyone listening about slowly watching your parents, you know, go, is... and I didn't know this until fucking she was on hospice, is that your mom has a neurological kind of disorder, got it? But her liver and all this other shit and her brain and, you know, everything is there. It's kind of functioning. So my suggestion to you and anyone else is that your mom, no matter what she says out of her mouth, understands you. So, for instance, you might go, oh, she's like a vegetable now, and this is uncomfortable. But if you lean into her like this, and you go, Mom, I love you, I love you, I'm here for you, and you kiss her just like as if she wasn't sick, she feels it and she gets it. Because her neurological has nothing to do with her ears. The last thing that goes...
Her sensory.
The last thing that goes is your fucking ears.
Yeah.
Because the thing that was fucked about my mom, that was so fucked up, was that... She couldn't speak. So, for instance, you knew she wanted to say something, but she couldn't take what was going on in her fucking brain and put it out in her mouth and say, I want a sandwich.
Oh, right.
And that's what was fucked.
Yeah.
That, and imagine how frustrating that is. And her hands were fucked up, so she couldn't write it.
Oh.
So she just had to fucking sit there. And knowing, hearing all these things that are going on and what's going on, but just fucking take it. And that's the saddest part about Parkinson's and Alzheimer's and all that shit, is they're just there, even though inside of them is fully healthy. Like, my mom's heart was healthy, her livers, you know, all this shit was healthy, but she couldn't communicate because of the nerve. But the last thing that goes, excuse me, the last thing that goes, okay? That was the barbecue. The last thing that goes is the throat. Because what happens is then you can't swallow. And if you can't swallow,
can't
then
eat.
You stick your tube in there. And then if you, you know, what's that? What kind of life is that?
Yeah.
So you have to have that decision too to deal with. So.
Well, I know that, but that's something my mom had talked about with me like a long time ago. Like being like, she didn't want to be on machines.
Yeah. No one does.
Well, some people, but what I'm saying is I think that there are choices that certain family members make because they're being selfish about themselves. You know, they're being like, I don't want this person to go, or they want to hold on or whatever it is.
I
like
think
that.
The machine is good if, like, there's a chance that that person's going to live and it was a fucking car crash and they're, like, 35 years old.
Right, I get you.
You know what I mean? Then you put the tube in there because, you know what I mean? Because right now they're, like, stuck, you know, they got in a car crash and you're stuck like that. But it's I'll tell you this, there's two different lives. There's a life when your parents are in it, and there's a life when your parents are not in it. Yeah. And they are completely two different lives. Yeah. And it has nothing to do with how old your parent are. You could be like, well, you know, how old's your mom? She died at 87. Well, she had a great life. It has nothing to do with the great life. She's dead. I can't go kiss her. I can't go by and bring her, you know, soup. Or whatever. So it's tough, you know. But then another thing that I realize is your parents don't want you to mourn. You know, like my mom doesn't want me to be sad about her, and my dad doesn't want me to be sad about them. They want me to say, hey, stop being a little bitch, move on, I'm cool. You know, our parents want us to be happy.
Yeah.
I believe that.
And I feel like you're getting there. You're living. There's no destination.
I am now. I'm good. I'm shifted into that. Yeah.
That's good, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough when this kind of thing happens, I think, you know. It's like, but then we're at this age now where it's like, these are the things we have to think about. Like, I think when you hit 40, you don't even realize, hey, man, it's coming to an end, this phase in your life, you know. But I remember when I got to a point where my mom was no longer a comfort for me anyway, though. You know what I'm saying? You know, there was a certain point.
So your dad's
around? No, no.
So he's passed.
Yeah, I don't. I never met my dad before. Wow. But my stepfather's still in my life with my mom. You know, he's there taking care of her and all that. But, you know, I just remember.
Which part of L.A. did you grow up?
I grew up in like a mid-Wilshire area.
When you say mid-Wilshire, is that Crenshaw and Wilshire?
No, it's like mid-Wilshire is like, you know, anywhere from like, you know, Beverly. I'll say, think of La Brea. So anywhere from Beverly all the way down to like Pico.
Got it. Okay.
But that's like Midtown. So it's like Midtown, Mid-Wilshire. Went to high school in the Mid-Wilshire area, like 3rd Street and all that kind of stuff. 3rd and La Brea. So, you know, I'm an L.A. guy. You know, I was born and raised in L.A. Like, we're one of the few people that we even know around, even at the Comedy Store. Like, yeah. I'm from L.A. Everybody else is like from their, like, whatever city.
Yeah.
And they always want to claim their city.
They say I'm L.A. Like, no, dude, that's 909, bro.
Yeah, man.
That's like 818's not
818. I have a 213 area code. Yeah. That's original L.A. area code.
Yeah, that's OG.
Yeah. What's up, guys? I'm out in Vegas. I'm shooting Riffin with Griffin here. And, you know, I got to tell you something. I miss my mattress. I miss my Helix Sleep mattress. There is a difference. I travel a lot. When you're staying at hotels, man, it's just, you can feel it in your back, you can feel it in your comfortability. And I really recommend you get a Helix Sleep mattress. You're gonna get $200 off. You're gonna get some free pillows if you use the code Griffin, ericgriffin.com. I'm sorry, it's helixsleep.com/griffin. So make sure you guys go to that. You know, Helix Sleep, you know, the best thing about it is you take this sleep quiz and they match you to the perfect mattress of how you sleep, your body type, all of that. It's a perfect situation. If you're looking for a mattress, I highly recommend it. I really recommend Helix Sleep. You know, it's like you don't got to go to the mattress store. I mean, it's like I always say this. It's like eHarmony for mattresses. You know, it's Tinder for you and your mattress. You're going to swipe on the perfect one because you're going to put all your information. But anyways, make sure you go to helixsleep.com/griffin for the $200 off and the discounts. And I highly recommend it. Take it from me, Eric Griffin. Let's get back to the show.
So
I don't know. Well, you're out here in Vegas. How long you think?
But it's
How long you think you're gonna be out here in Vegas? Because I think even you know you're not gonna stay here.
I agreed.
You know, I don't think you're gonna stay here. But I don't know if it means you're gonna go back to L.A. But like, what's next? I mean, have you ever lived in New York?
I love New York.
Have you ever lived there?
My heart. No, I have not. I love New York.
Yeah, you seem like
New York's got my heart.
Yeah,
sure.
I think you do well in New York.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably my next place.
Yeah, you'll have like a cult of just that, those kind of people you like having around you are going to be, they're all over the place in New York.
Yeah, very bohemian.
Like
the Village and I always really, like, I spent a lot of time in New York, you know, all my life. I would always go out there and, you know, when I got my gig on MTV, especially, MTV was New York based.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we used to go out there all the time and do shows. I have photos of me and Chappelle at the fucking Stony Awards 20 something years ago. When I hosted that, and that was fucking awesome, and just, you know, New York is got that, you know, all the artists, you know, and that's the issue with Vegas is I don't find that, and that's the thing that'll probably drive me out.
Right.
You know?
It's not like because you were, like, you took me to, like, what you said, this is the art district, and I was like, mechanic shop, pawn shop, and then there was, like, one
nice
antique store, and you're like, look at the art district. You know what
it'll
I mean?
It'll be there soon. You'll see. Yeah, this area, that area, the Arts District in Vegas is coming up. It's cool. It's not there yet, but there's, I mean, I'll name some sick places for those of you locals. You got Esther's Kitchen. You got, what's the vegan taco shop? You got the sushi bar across the street that's amazing. I forgot the name. You got Makers and Finders. You got Public US. You got really cool.
Well, that barbecue place we went to today. Yeah, what's the name of the place?
Soul Belly.
Soul Belly. And they had, it's legit, 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Sunday. And they had this great three-piece, like, blues band playing live.
Yeah.
Singing. Dude looked like he was fresh out of prison.
Right.
Just jamming on a harmonica. Wah, 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 you know? And they were singing all these, like, bluesy country songs. And I was like, this is great.
Yeah, no, it's cool.
Six people in there. Not even, it's like, enjoy this. But it's, like, amazing. Like, you know,
No, the Arts District for you got the Vegas Strip here, you got downtown here, and the Arts District is right in the middle. And then Keith Stubbs, who owns Wise Guys in Utah, I hooked him up with my friend Jason. They own the land, and I organized that whole deal. So Wise Guys is going to be opening here in Vegas on September 7th, and he's already got a whole bunch of comics booked, and it's a fucking awesome road room. So it's the first comedy club in Las Vegas that you don't have to take a fucking escalator or a fucking this thing or park over there or go, you know what I mean?
So
it's a standalone.
But I feel like that's going to be sort of a local, locals.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, but I think that the tourists are going to hear about it and hear that like Spade is playing there or someone, you're playing there or whoever, and they're going to fucking go like, oh shit, I want to go check that out. And they're going to see this new area, the Arts District. And the Arts District also has sidewalks everywhere. Most Vegas, there's not a lot of sidewalks.
It's they don't want you walking. They want you like on a people mover right to a crap table.
Right. But you know, I'm here. You know, Ryan's here, who's shooting this, and I've been filming a lot of great stuff out of here. I know it might not be for you, but I'm enjoying it. You know,
We just don't even. Like, you know, I love you, man. I think. Like I say, I enjoy watching you enjoy yourself.
Yeah,
that's my favorite thing about you.
Yeah,
my favorite thing about you is like you'll have like seven weirdos around you, and they and you. You know what I mean? Like, no offense, Ryan. No, but you're a professional, so that's why you know you have a skill.
Yeah.
Some of these people he has around, I'm like, what does that girl do or what does that guy do? But he just is like, you know, like he's like the weirdo whisperer, you know what I mean? And then he's just there with his little cult, and they're just like, they love him and they appreciate him, and you're just having a great time.
Yeah, I love it.
So I think that that's like, you know, it's something to be said about just, you know. Like it's funny to be where you are right now to like as opposed to like where you started, like because you were talking about MTV earlier. Do you ever like flip on MTV and just be like, damn, what is this now? Like, you know, because like, I mean, I think back to those days and I'm like, my God, MTV was like one of the biggest things ever.
It was the biggest thing.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
The coolest thing, yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, you were doing stadiums off that shit.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, and now it's like.
Yeah, I don't watch it. But, you know, the good part about the internet and kind of this thing of what's going on is for the artists like us, even the people that aren't artists, but, you know, speak on behalf of the artists, you can do whatever you want and say whatever you want and put out whatever you want so that,
you know. Yeah, you can cultivate your own
whatever
audience.
You want. You
yeah, that's the, that, you it want. Is.
A, it's kind of cool. Like,
it is a nice thing to
even
like.
Even if it's not a lot of people watching, but as an artist, I get this shit out here, and I get it out. I have my band, Pauly Shore and the Crusties. I got my Sweatin' with the Weeze show.
You play an instrument?
No, I sing. I'm the singer. Well, no, I've been singing since I was little. I'm not good.
Really?
I'm not good, but I have fun. You know, I enjoy it.
Pauly Shore and the Crusties. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're going to be playing Vegas, be playing a Chinese restaurant in Vegas before no time here.
Yeah,
we got that.
Is that your goal, a Chinese restaurant?
Yeah.
Is that actually. Like the starter ground?
You just... No, that's where it finishes. Because again, it's all about the comedy. All I give a fuck about is the comedy.
That's your Chinese restaurant residency. That's what you want to get.
Yeah.
Like, while people are in a buffet line, you're gonna be like up there. It's not unusual to be loved by Pauly Shore.
I'll be doing Courtney Love songs in a dress.
Now that sounds about right.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Really?
Yes.
Courtney
because
Love.
It's fun for me.
I get it.
And it's fun to hear people. It's like. It's almost like Borat. I mean, you do it. You know, I'm playing this part. I'm not a homeless guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's what. Oh, you know what? I was just about to say that. I think what I enjoy the most, because not knowing you more now, what I enjoy the most is that you are aware of what people think about you. You're fully aware of what's happening in a moment when you're acting Pauly Shore, and it's like you're watching them react. And they're reacting like, what the fuck's with this guy?
Right,
and you're
it.
Getting off on...
I love it. It's my favorite.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So what I'm saying is like, this is what people don't know about you. And the first time I knew this about you, the very first time I really understood this, was when you were on my podcast for the first time.
Okay.
And you were like, you sat there and you went, all right, you know what? I'm not going to be... You made a motion of like, let me, I'm going to be real with you right now.
Because
I know that's what you want.
Right.
And that's when I was like, oh, this motherfucker's... playing everybody.
Right, right. Yeah, it is. It's all playing but people. It's all focused.
That's why it's deliberate.
It all is deliberate. Look, I came into Las Vegas and I said to myself, I go, I want to start a band with just a bunch of old fuckers. That's it. And it's going to be Pauly Shore and the Crusties. And I could not find any fucking band. So I settled for this other band who's a good band, but that wasn't that funny to me. Mm-hmm. So one night I'm at Sand Dollar, which is a rock club here in Vegas. And I'm sitting there watching a show with some friends. And I see these old guys on stage. They're doing like a Grateful Dead cover shit.
Uh-huh.
And
you were like, this is it.
This is the guys. So I get the guys. I get their numbers. And I go, I need a drummer that's as old as you guys. They're like, we got it. So they get me Eddie Thicket. And then I bring my old guy Bill from LA.
Yeah. That's one of your weirdos. I remember
him.
He's
in there. So that's the band, and people are loving it. And I put out songs on YouTube and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. So when have you? Oh, so you've played live already?
No, we're doing the first live show in October.
Oh wow.
It's going to be funny at the Sand Dollar, but we record our videos in the garage.
Maybe I should come open
Listen,
for you.
Yeah, we record our videos in the garage. So it's a garage band with Pauly Shore and these old fucking guys.
You know, but I get it, though. Get it? It's a garage band. People think, oh, you're doing grunge music? No. We film it in a garage.
Yeah, so we're in the garage, and I have wardrobe. I play Elton John. So I put on the Elton John outfit.
So you just wear your regular.
And then we got a series called Classic Scenes from Classic Movies,
uh-huh.
Which is basically...
Oh, that's hilarious. You don't even have to tell me what it is, because just... All I hear is, like, if it's, like, Pauly Shore as
right.
The Godfather.
Exactly.
Pauly Shore as whatever
Cape
it
Fear.
Is. Yeah,
Pauly
I
Shore
love
is
it.
Good fellas.
I or love Yucky. It. Yeah.
So we did that out of here, and that's been fucking great. And it's a way for me as an actor to act, because that's what I am. I'm an actor without having to call up other actors
and
hey, let's do this. So I'm able to edit it in a way and produce it in a way where emotionally I'm able to get out my chops so I don't become... You know, dormant, you know, when you don't work on that acting muscle, you know, and you're not in class or you're not doing a movie, you got to do something to sharpen that thing. So that did that. And I really enjoy that. And then I have my Sweatin' with the Weeze thing because everyone says I'm like Richard Simmons. So what I do is I do a video called Sweatin' with the Weeze where I do, you know, a workout, like a 3-minute workout in my backyard, you know, with my girl. And we do that. And that's really fun, too.
Sweatin' with the Weeze.
Well, because people like email or tweet him, and you look like Richard Simmons.
You do kind of have a little Richard Simmons vibe going on right now.
I just go with it. I'm like, all right, fuck it.
Do you have like, do you sell merch?
I do, but I'm just like, again, it's how do I want to spend my days? I want to spend hours dealing with my merch.
You have a merch guy. You got a guy for everything. You got a camera guy. You got a fucking old band. You got a thing. You know, it's like, you know, this is how you know he's financially okay, by the way. Because it ain't even a thing. Because Weezer shirts would still sell. All the, you know, all that stuff.
I did sell it. I just don't make it a big deal to sell it. They're coming at me to do my own marijuana strain. So that's like the next thing that they're
Oh, my
do.
God.
Yeah.
I don't even smoke weed and that makes sense to
you
me.
You don't want to smoke some weed?
Get some Weeze, you know.
Weed's legal here.
Yeah. I don't think it did it. Would it have mattered to you?
No. It doesn't really matter.
Were you like, you know, if you don't have to talk about it if you don't want to, but like when you were coming up and it was like 80s and 90s, were you like, did you try every drug possible? Or was that something you stayed away from? I'm curious. Not to say that persona would come across like you took a lot of drugs.
Yeah, no.
But
I
can understand if you didn't.
I did coke once in a while, but it was never I went on a coke binge.
Oh.
It wasn't like, let's do coke. It was like, I'd do a little and then I'd be good.
Is that something you got from like the Comedy Store? Because those are the stories you hear all the time. It was like that glass piano back there is where everybody did coke.
It wasn't,
and like, you know,
it wasn't really the store. It was my friends that I went to school with.
Because
I went to Beverly Hills High School. So as you know, Beverly Hills High School. I mean, you grew up in L.A.
Yeah, that's where. Yeah, yeah.
Beverly Hills High School in the 80s was it was a fucking, you know, it was less than zero.
Yeah, Casino was based off Beverly Hills High School.
Yeah, but it wasn't like the fucking show. But it was like a John Hughes film. I mean, Beverly Hills High School was just, it was heaven. It was fucking heaven. From like 9th grade to 12th grade was like, I mean, you know, we would skateboard empty swimming pools. We'd fucking go, you know, get in fights with Vals on the fucking bus. We'd go fucking Maury boogie boarding. We'd, you know, put zinc oxide on our noses. We'd smoke weed. We'd go to the Westwood Comedy Store and play the arcade and watch fucking, you know, Jim Carrey do this fucking thing or whatever. And you remember Westworld? I'm sure you went to Westwood growing up.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and fucking it was the best.
Yeah, that's where, like, remember that was, remember, like, one of the only place to really go see movies back in the day, too. That was, like, the you know, they would, like, and then, like, if there was a movie premiere, they would change the whole city, the whole downtown. It'd be like, oh, we're making it Gotham City because Batman's coming out, or, you know what I mean?
Westwood Village was, like, you know, in high school, was, like, the coolest place in the world. I mean, it was just, you know.
Remember that fair they would do every year? Like, out there on that big fairground? I forgot what it was called.
At UCLA.
Dude, remember that?
That was the sickest.
Yeah, there would be like
oh my God, it went all the time. Food and like
weird amusement park rides.
I liked it because you can meet girls from Pally.
The Palisades girls were the ones.
Yeah. Because, you know, it'd be like this at UCLA, there was like, you know, like you said, a fair. Yeah. And all the kids from all the different schools would all meet there.
Yeah. Yeah, that used to be the thing. I forgot what it was called, though.
Mardi Gras.
Was it called Mardi Gras?
No.
I feel like it, you know, that was when it was in my head, too. I thought it was Mardi Gras. But it was like a particular name.
Yes, that's crazy.
And it would be every year. And it would be like food and
rides and stuff.
Rides and all kinds of stuff. And that'd be the thing to do. We got to go to UCLA and go do that. I used to ride the bus by myself.
Yeah.
Even to go to the movies when I was a kid, I'd be like
91X or something.
You know what I mean? Just take the bus down Wilshire.
Get off at the Federal Building.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Shit, man.
But yeah, Vegas is cool. It's kind of where I'm at now. You know, it's definitely not LA. You know, LA is sad to me right now. There's a sadness there. There's a resistance there. There's a, you know, a very woke kind of like thing there, and that energy. It just doesn't work for me right now. I mean, I understand people are there and they're going through what they're going through, and that's fine. But for where I'm at in my life, it doesn't really work for me.
I felt like Guest House was a throwback to like a movie that like people seem to be afraid to make right now. You know, because it's just like, you know, boys being boys and like, you know, TNA and just raunchiness and language and, you know, just what comedy used to be about, you know, the fun lighter side of it. And now I think, you know, it's like now we have to make, you know, just sad, depressing movies, or there can be no victims in the movie. Like, you can't have a victim anymore. Like, a female can't be a victim. Someone of color can't be a victim. You know, we can't have nudity. We can't have, like, you know, so, I mean, I understand that there's, like, you don't want to be, like, gluttonous with these types of things, but there is something based in comedy where all those things can be funny. And, like, even, like, that show that I was on, even, like, show, like, Workaholics, I don't know if Workaholics would work right now if it came out, just because of, you know, it was drugs and women and, you know, just the some of the subject matter that they made silly. People now would be like, this is problematic and toxic to behavior. So, like, you know, so what do you think about, you know, being able to make a movie like you did called, like, Guest House? And is that the direction you want to go in, or is it just, like, not... Or are you just like, hey, I'm just going to do my own fun stuff because I don't want to deal with the Hollywood machine?
No, I want to deal with the Hollywood machine, you know. I'm all about ideas. I think Guest House was just a good idea, you know. When Sam came to me with the concept, you know, and said, hey, this is what it is. I'm like, you're in the Guest House. I'm like, that's fucking hilarious. And that's why I glommed on it, and I helped rewrite the script.
Yeah.
And I helped soften the character because the original character was very kind of harsh. And it made my guy a lot more likable. And there was a reason why, you know, you find out at the end why he was going so crazy. He didn't want to let go of his house.
Yeah.
You know, there's all this stuff. So the idea was, it's always about the idea. So for me, if someone comes at to me with an idea that I think is really good, I don't care what time, you know, it is. And then if someone wants to put up the money, then, like, let's go.
Even better.
You know,
right?
Yeah, like, let's rock and roll, you know. But Guest House was, you know, right time, right movie, right place, right this, right that. You know what I mean? And it did well, and people liked it. And
yeah, it's on people Netflix did now. Like it. It's on Netflix. It's still on now. Netflix now, so check out Netflix. Check out Guest House on Netflix.
And it You'll is see what it is.
Myself.
Yeah.
Star Pauly Shore.
Yeah, and we were funny.
How much time have we been at right now?
It's been about 40 minutes.
Perfect. We got 10 more minutes, and we're good, man. This is great. I love it. What's
on? Good.
Yeah, man. You're like I say, like, you know, I wish. I don't know if you, sometimes I feel like, I don't know if you want people to know the lighter side of yourself or like the more vulnerable side of your personality. Maybe I feel like you, it's like exclusive to like close friends and family, but like, you know, why is that?
Because I like to laugh. You know what I mean? I like to be silly and to be serious and real and shit is like, I don't know. You know what I mean? But you know what I mean?
It's yeah.
You know, like yeah. I have a gift. God gave me a gift. Like, you know, I can, he gave me the gift of to be, make people laugh. And so like, I like to lean into that because, you know, I like making people laugh. You know what I mean? I don't want to make people cry.
Yeah.
You know, and be all serious and shit. I like being, I like people thinking I'm stupid or I like people thinking that I'm, you know, one way, you know? I don't care.
I'm sure, like, you get this a lot because I get this even myself on my small scale. I really enjoy when people send me messages about, like, hey, thanks for putting out content and doing what you do because in the past year it really helped me get through, you know? And that really made me really realize, like, really how important what we do is.
Yeah, like I said, like, I have a gift, you have a gift. Like, anyone can be serious and be real and, like, thought-provoking and, like, and all, like, heady and shit. But, like, not anyone can be funny. You know what I mean? And me and you, I love doing shtick with you. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, I just think, like, and everyone says the same thing. You guys got to do a movie. I'm like, great. Give us the fucking script.
And a budget.
And a budget. And tell us when to show
up. We got a camera guy. He can be our DP. Well, we're ready to go. Like, but like, what's this movie going to be?
Yeah. So, we got a gift of making people laugh. So I'd rather be sillier than be serious, I guess.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
that shit on the street was hilarious with that dude.
Yeah, some random guy. Just make sure you check out Paulie's Instagram.
Yeah.
All his information will be below. Check out his Instagram. You'll see a thing that we did. We're probably dressed the same. Some weird guy just walks up and is like, I love that. It's like, because you've been in the business so long, you have a wide range of people who know who you are. But, like, you could tell this is a guy that knew you, you know.
For a while.
He's known you for a while.
For a while.
You know what I mean? And he's just like, Paulie, sure. And he's like, you know.
He's into it.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And that always, and anytime I go, anytime I was like, if somebody's really into you, I'm like, ooh, let me see what's going on with this person. Because they don't really, you know what I mean? Because they don't really know.
Right, yeah.
What they're super into.
Yeah, it's okay. You know, they don't have to know the serious side of me, you know?
I get it.
It's fucking.
Yeah, but that'll be your thing, though. Like, this is like, happens to everybody. It's like, you know, you're going to have, like you're going to play that, like, Robin Williams part in Good Will Hunting or something. Like, maybe there is a role out there where people are going to be like, and then that's going to be the thing, a side of Paulie Shore you've never seen.
I know.
You know what I mean? And that'll be the thing that really shows. Because ultimately, being an actor, because even being doing comedy is acting. Even when we're on stage performing, we're acting.
Performing.
We're performing, you know?
Yeah.
Like, don't fool yourself. We're performing. Yeah. Even if it's a part of our personality.
We're still performing.
We're performing, you know? Yeah. So there is something about being in a show or a movie where you can, like, because people ask me all the time, what do you prefer, acting or stand-up, you know? And I hate making that choice, because there is something about taking material.
I like acting better.
You do? Oh,
yeah,
really?
I like acting better, but I agree with you.
But I've seen your set, so I understand why, but go on.
Whoa.
Just kidding. Ooh, that was harsh, right? Too hard? Was that too hard?
So acting to me is way more, because it's very detailed and it's very specific and it's... It's this, and it's a lot of prep.
Yeah. You know, like, I know exactly, like, what you're saying.
It's a lot of prep. Like, I prep my ass off for Guest House.
Yeah.
I prep, like, all the little things and all
And, you know, and people wouldn't think that. People would think it's like, oh, what, does he just show up and be Paulie Shore?
No.
And it's like, they don't know, like, how, even these little, you know, guys, what you don't even know. I mean, let you a little inside of Paulie Shore right now. Even these little man on the street things that he's doing, you don't know how much he very much... I want you to do this, and this. I'm going to say this. You try to say this. And then try to make it natural. And then it comes out where you think, oh, look at Paulie just being Paulie. But no, man, it's all deliberate. It's all, you know, planned out. And I think that's, like, You know, that's what's great about doing things for YouTube and Instagram and stuff is that you can combine this like stand up energy, but we're like, oh, I can do some acting and do a scene.
Well, that's what I like about one of my favorite shows is Curb Your Enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. I mean, I haven't watched every episode, but I just love Larry David because, you know, like he's playing a role of a guy after his career. Yeah. And this is who he is now. And his acting and how he exaggerates and like it's coming from a true place. But it's all fake.
Yeah,
the stuff with you, we do this thing on the thing where I'm asking him to move to fucking Vegas because Joe Rogan's got everyone to move to. You know what I mean? People are going to like, the comments are going to be like, dude, don't move to Vegas. It's disgusting. And, oh, yeah, you should. And, but it's all, I don't want to say it's fake, but it's all acting. We're acting. Yeah. This is not acting.
Yeah, I don't dislike him.
Yeah.
So, in a video, you might think.
I love the Curb style, and I love interacting with great comedic actors in that way because it's fun, dude, and it's easy.
But you know, I find I did Workaholics. I've done some funny things, you know. But I will say, like when I was doing I'm Dying Up Here.
Mm.
There was something about coming from a comedic background, but doing this sort of real grounded dramatic thing. I found it very rewarding.
Oh, great.
More so than like doing some funny thing.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. If people ask me, and I'm sure maybe it's not, probably you too, I don't know. If they say, if I had one thing that I could do in my career, like what would be the one thing? And that'd be like to do like a third lead in a dramatic film with a really good director.
Yeah.
That would be like my number one. And I tell my fucking manager all the time, I'm like.
But the problem is they have such limited vision. The people that run Hollywood because they think of you all the time as like, well, you can't be serious. You're always going to be this.
You get guys that are great directors like a Quentin or, you know, I mean, yeah. I use him as a very generic kind of simple thing because people understand it. But you get a guy who has a vision, who has control, who has some fucking balls, and also people respect. If Quentin Tarantino says, I want Eric Griffin to play this fucking detective in this thriller thing that winds up later that he's the killer, you know, or some shit like that, you know, he would do it. You know what I mean?
Let's start that hashtag right now.
No, but that to me is like, because I think comedians love to act.
Yeah, we do.
And they know how to act, but not a lot of actors can do comedy, except for De Niro. I think De Niro kind of changed.
You know what's funny about what De Niro does is I think De Niro is still doing what De Niro does in serious movies. And but it's what the people around him are reacting to him doing
correct,
what he does, and it's
correct.
Just perfect.
But he's aware of it.
He knows he's in
a comedy, though.
Yes.
When he does Analyze This, and he's working with Ben Stiller or whatever, you know, comedic actors, he still knows he's in a comedy.
Right.
But I agree with you.
But he's still being a mob boss.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, and that's why I love classic scenes from classic movies, because it kind of, you know, if all fails, I can at least do that, and I can play these roles, you know, as if I got, you know, People versus Larry Flint. You know what I mean? Right? And it's great, and they turned out great, and if you watch it, people are like, fuck.
And where can they find that?
It's on my YouTube and my Instagram.
Yeah, so check out Paulie's YouTube, check out his Instagram.
Yeah, check out Classic Scenes from Classic Movies, and check out Sweatin' with the Weeze and Polishing the Crusties, and also my podcast, Random Rants.
Yeah, I've been on Random Rants.
Yeah, that was fun, dude.
Yeah, you had he's got random
nuts.
People on Random Rants around him. It's like
that was so
but
much fun.
Listen, man, I appreciate you doing this for me because I'm out here in Vegas. I'm I was at Brad Garrett's all week, and I was like, oh, I got to do my podcast. I have to do it solo, so it's better. This is always better. I always enjoy being around you. I enjoy your energy.
I mean,
it's always a good time.
I think a lot of it has to do with we're both from LA too, so there's that respect too.
Yeah, but I also think there's some sort of like there's a comedian bond that all comedians kind of have like a commonality. There's a thing there that they go, oh, I get what you've been through. I get how your brain works to figure out how to make something funny. Mm-hmm. There's something there that we're connected that mm-hmm. way. We're not all close. We're not all friends. We don't even like each other. But there's a common bond there.
Yeah.
But when you actually do like the person, it makes it stronger and you have a good friendship, you know? Because it's like, you know, we're starting to, you know, second part of our lives.
What's
it
called, the back nine?
You know what I mean? We're living like so many, I think about it, we live so many different lives in our lifetime. You know, you have your childhood, you have you're different when you're like in high school to like in your college years, and then your 30s, like you live all these lifetimes. I think back now about, man, I was doing such different things, and now I'm starting a completely new life. I'm engaged, and you know, it's like, I'm like, what the hell am I starting?
You're
a new
moving
life?
To Vegas?
I'm not moving to Vegas. Yeah. But anyway, this has been Pauly Shore. This is Riffin' with Griffin on the road, special
Can I do
edition.
A Weasel style, Riffin' with Griffin?
Yeah, go ahead. What you want to do?
Well, they like it, a lot of the kids.
Yeah.
Riffin' with Griffin, bro. Oh! You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Dude, right they now, got me this house, bro. Come on.
I feel you. But there's a lot of people right now Googling Pauly Shore.
Wait, come on, that's not cool.
I'll see you next week.